as you have heard me mention the last few weeks, our Lenten program this year is about creating a rule of life. A rule of life is a kind of structure, a trellis, if you will, or a frame, which can support our life, helps inform how we live. A rule is created by praying, by discerning how God is calling us to live. It is an attempt to articulate what is important to us in daily living. And here's the trick, to do that with enough detail to support you, without so much detail that it hinders you. To be flexible, to be supportive, to have room for us to live and make choices. A rule of life ultimately reflects our values, what is important to us, how we are called to, how we hope to live. I think a rule of life ultimately is predicated on the assumption, on the reality, that as followers of Jesus, we are called to live differently from the world around us. The world's values are not necessarily, or sometimes even at all, close to how Jesus would have us live. And if we do not practice intentional decision-making, if we don't anticipate and think ahead, if we're not examining how we are going to live, then those ways of the society around us will just creep into our behavior. They will become how we live without even realizing it, even if we may not be pleased with that. And so a rule of life gives us that chance to be intentional, to plan ahead, to anticipate, so that we don't just accept life as given us by the society. Now, to help with this work, we're reading a book which is called At Home in the World, A Rule of Life for the Rest of Us by Margaret Gunther. And you notice in that title she says, for the rest of us. Rules of life are primarily the purview of monastic communities. Communities that structure their lives around a common rule, decisions about how they will live as a community. But Gunther believes that rules of life are not only for monastics, that those of us who do not live in monasteries can benefit from having a rule. For it articulates how we are going to live that is different from the world. She observes many things in her books, but one of the things she does is to reflect how we live in an age where consumerism is valued, where we get all these messages about buy, consume, have, possess, collect things. And that may not be exactly in line with the gospel. Here's a quote from her book. In America, we live in a society where self-indulgence is close to being a civic duty if we are to sustain the economy, and even our poor are well off by world standards. The idea of deliberate self-denial is alien. You will not find hair shirts at Nordstrom's, and the portions at McDonald's are not conducive to serious fasting. So indeed, the messages we get are not about denying, but in fact, having as much as we can. And yet, here we sit, beginning the second week of Lent, where the message of Lent contradicts the message of our culture. For this is a season not to indulge as much as we can, not to satisfy our cravings, not to collect more things, but it's actually a season to be honest and acknowledge that we have these cravings and desires, and that some of them get in the way of our relationship with God, that they impede our reliance on God. And so this is the season we are called to abstain in order to refocus our attention on God, to deny ourselves that we might trust in God and place God at the center of our lives. In our gospel today, Jesus even uses these words. Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. This passage is part of a longer passage. We just hear the end of it. But it begins with Jesus asking the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. And this is clearly divine revelation given him of God to understand who Peter is. It's a rare glimpse in Mark's gospel of one of the male disciples actually understanding, of seeing, of knowing who Jesus is. But then after this confession of Peter, Jesus goes on to teach that he's going to Jerusalem. He will suffer, he'll be killed, and on the third day he will rise again. Peter doesn't so much like this part of the message. He rejects this. This can't happen to Jesus. And so Peter goes from that divine insight, from seeing and understanding, to blindness, to not understanding, to that way of being blind that is so common of the male disciples in Mark's gospel, and results in Jesus rebuking him, "Get behind me, Satan." Strong words. But part of what Jesus is saying there is, "Peter, don't tempt me like Satan did. Don't tempt me to cast off my mission, the road I must walk. Don't tempt me to not go to Jerusalem where I will die." For Jesus knows he's going there. He's going there willingly, but it's not what he most wants to do. Who would want to face the cross? And so, "Peter, don't distract me. I have to do this." Peter has great difficulty, as do the other disciples, accepting this reality of crucifixion, of the death of Jesus. It makes little sense to them. In the first century, it was assumed that when the Messiah came, the Messiah would usher in a new age, an age where Roman occupation would be thrown off, where the throne of King David would be restored. Peter and the others thought that Jesus would lead them to a military victory over the Romans and establish the new Israel with the King of God in place. But Jesus is not that kind of Messiah. Jesus does not call his disciples to armed revolt. Instead, he insists that they follow him in walking the way of the cross, that they give up the violent ways of the world, that they live instead by loving service. And so Jesus is calling his disciples to a radical new way of life, a life that is at odds with their assumptions and their expectations. It's a life that is radically different from the world around them. Jesus is rejecting that principle at the heart of human impulse, that principle that violence can be used to usher in justice, usher in God's reign. Jesus is rejecting waging war against anyone. And so Jesus is calling his disciples and calling you and me as his followers to live a life with love at the center, a life in which we are totally committed to God without any other allegiances, a life of walking the way of the cross, that reality of denying ourselves to find our truest selves, of losing our lives in to find that true abundant life, that meaningful life in God. Now, this passage has, through the centuries, been interpreted in different and various ways, and one interpretation has been to spiritualize and to privatize this message, to turn taking up our cross into that comfort that we all have our cross to bear. We all have burdens that we carry, to accept them, and to accept the pain and suffering that comes with them as the way things are, with that promise that at the end of time there will be heaven where we will know the relief of our burdens. But for now, accept it, carry your cross. This message has also sadly been used to keep those at the margins quiet, to make them accept the injustice of their lives. This is especially true for women, for people of color, for those who are LGBT. Accept the present. Someday it'll be better. You'll know salvation in heaven. But the reality is Jesus is not calling us to that kind of carrying of our cross. Jesus does not call us to diminish our personhood. Jesus does not call us to accept injustice. But instead, Jesus calls us to live into the fullness of who we are created to be. Jesus comes, in fact, to set us free from all that oppresses us, from all injustice, from all the ways that keep us from being fully human, fully who we are created to be. Jesus comes to set us free from all that holds us back from following God and being the people God created us to be. Mark is telling us instead that denying ourselves and taking up our cross is to live by total commitment to Jesus. It is, in fact, to reject the ways of this world, those ways of power being used over other people, the ways that violence is seen as a reasonable way to meet a desired end. To deny ourselves is, in fact, to reject violence in all its forms. We're called to do so, even though we live in a world that is predicated on violence, where gun violence is regular, so regular it's becoming numbing. A world where one response to the Florida shooting has been a call to arm teachers with firearms. That's based on that assumption that more weapons will lead to safety and to peace. We're called to reject violence in a nation that is waging the longest war in its history, a war with no end in sight, with no promise that all the death and the destruction will lead to better life, to justice, to peace. We are called to deny ourselves by rejecting that assumption that happiness is found in consuming, in collecting material possessions, in getting the newest, the latest gadget. Some folks, in fact, have so many things they don't all fit in their house. We're called to examine that, to give up that desire to meet the pressures of the world around us, to conform, to do these things that lead us to gather more possessions. For ultimately, these do not lead to satisfaction. This is a journey that only leads us to possess more things. Ultimately, we're called to believe that our fulfillment is only in God. We're called to see our need for reliance on God, to realize that the only answer for those deep longings, those hungers within us, are found in God. St. Augustine, in his Confessions, says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." That restlessness in our hearts will not be satisfied by violence, by consuming things, by having possessions. It's satisfied only in God. And so our gospel call today is to place our complete trust and reliance on God, to have no clearer priority, to hold nothing to be more important than walking behind Jesus in the way he leads. Jesus is calling us to remove ourselves as the center of our lives and to put God there. And we have the gift of this holy season of Lent to ask how we are to do this. How is it that we fall short of this call of Jesus? What changes would God have us make? Ted Myers is a community organizer and author. He's written a commentary on Mark, which is called "Say to This Mountain, Mark's Story of Discipleship." And he offers some reflection questions which may be helpful as you think about this Lenten call to deny yourself and take up your cross. The first question he asks is, where now does Jesus call you to take up the cross and follow him? Where in your life are you called to resist self-deprecation, the culture of violence, consumerism, or other forces of injustice? He also asks, what are the possible consequences of following this path, and where do you find fear in doing so? May we take seriously that call of Jesus to follow, to walk behind him even in the way of the cross, knowing that we can trust Jesus to be there to lead us and to support us, and knowing that you and I don't do this alone. We do this together as a community, as the part of that larger body, not facing this challenge on our own. May we ultimately come to live that paradox that Jesus teaches, that in denying ourselves, in taking up our cross, is found the deep, abundant life that God has in store for us, a life where we are set free to love as God loves. Amen. Amen.